Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Guess what, Internet? Welcome to Season 332, Episode 4 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And guess what day it is? It's April 4th, 4424, which means it's National Vitamin C Day, as they would say in the UK, National Burrito Day, let's see, National Chicken Cordon Bleu Day, National School Librarian Day. Shout out Miss Barkley, my elementary school librarian. She was so vibey and like actually made me fuck with books, because she was just sort of like, yeah, like, there, don't just pick a book up whenever you want to. And I will never forget you, Miss Barkley. Shout out, Miss Barkley. National Hug a News Person Day. I mean, whatever. I mean, look, if you need a hug, let us know. But, you know,
yeah.
Are you faithfully reporting the news, or are you just regurgitating police talking points? That's what I want to know.
And put that in the email, in the hug email.
Exactly. Yes. Tell me what kind of journalist are you? Are you just a mouthpiece for the police state, or are you doing some real muckraking? In which case, hey.
Are you raking mucks?
Hey, what do you got on that rake? Is that a bunch of muck on your rake?
Is it muck?
You are going on?
Covered in muck. Let me give you a muck-covered hug, you little muckraker.
Anyway, my name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. 737 falling out of the sky. Need to stop a whistleblower. Let's make sure we're gonna die. So much proof. Boeing is a troubling brand. Yeah, well, I'm flying. Hope I land sign of crosses with my hand. Boeing is a troubling brand. All right, shout out Christy Yamaguchi, man, at the Waffle House for that fantastic Creedence Clearwater rendition of Traveling Band, but troubling brand. Yes, Boeing is a troubling brand at the moment. And yes, like I said, fun fact, when I used to do laser tag birthday parties in the Valley, John Fogerty, his kid had his birthday there 2 years in a row, and I got to do his birthday, and I didn't know who John Fogerty was because I was 16 years old and I wasn't really up on that kind of shit. And then the next time I came around, I was like, oh, hey, bro, I thought you were black or something first when I first heard you on a record. But hey, good for you, John Fogerty.
The highest compliment you could get as a musician.
Back then, especially when they're like, hey, man, I just heard this like Delta Blues album. I think we can cover this whole shit and maybe get our own wave going. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. But please pay respects. Please pay homage. Unlike people who are right now with like Beyonce, they're like, I saw that op-ed. They're like, keep country music clean because Beyonce was. We know what the fuck you're saying. But look, you know what? Ken Burns did a great documentary. If you need to be up on where country music came from or people who had a big contribution to country music, black people. You could check that out.
No
maybe.
Spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah, no spoilers.
Ken put 80 years of his life into that documentary. 6 years of us watching it.
Interesting though too, because it started off like the banjo came from West Africa, and then there was like this thing called hillbilly music, which is the precursor to like modern country. But then as it became more of like a commercial thing, that's when it became segregated, and they're like, okay, there's like hillbilly music, and then what they called race music, which is when they started, you know, putting black people to the side and said, let's have this now.
Yes.
But anyway, it was a very multicultural of genre before. All that to say, you've already heard the chaos at the start of the episode and the tangents I've gone off on. That's probably because I've got a freaky co-host today, real sick fuck, who is a Liverpool fan. And as I am, you know, as we're in the throes of a Premier League run-in, wondering who's going to win the title, he's already giving me shit about Arsenal being in second place. And that's fine, because I love him and you love him too. It's our very own, your very own. I guess we'll just call him Blake Chaos Wexler.
This is Blake Wexler, a.k.a. I try to say goodbye, but I croak. Try to jump my way to a puddle. I try to hide on this log. The whole world knows I'm a frog. It is raining on the East Coast. I guess that's the theme.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yeah, that AKA, I insist on writing these myself, and clearly that needs to stop. So if anyone wants to send me some that I can bank for this wonderful program.
Respect. You respect please, the family name. Respect Amphibian. The family name.
Yeah.
My cousin Macy. Amphibian. You know what I mean? Isn't that Macy Long Gray?
Yeah. Macy, I woke up to that song on my phone, like as an alarm for like 3 years. At
really?
One point where Ooh. I, yeah. And it was honestly a really, really nice way to wake up. I think I might bring it back.
Why Macy Gray as an alarm ringtone? Was it just that you didn't want the like, and you wanted something like a little bit more melodic?
Sicko wants to wake up to like a submarine sinking. You know what I mean? Like, that's a terrible noise.
I'm in the midst of an argument with Her Majesty, because she has one of the most violent, like, of the iPhone alarm tones. I like harp. I like the harp.
No.
Because that brings me...
I need Discord.
Oh, you need Discord?
Have we talked about this on the show? Sorry, I'm also here. But
No, it doesn't matter. Look, people already know. Yeah. That's Andrew T. But anyway, we'll introduce him in a second.
Welcome, Andrew T, our guest.
Actually, hold on. Let me introduce you right now.
Can we introduce him right now?
Let's also introduce our guest, okay?
Let's introduce our guest.
No. Okay. I didn't want to interrupt like that.
It's Jazz, baby. He loves Discord. He's on Discord. He's all about Discord. He's a fantastic writer, comedian, producer. Also, I got to see him do a wonderful panel at Podcast Movement Evolutions last week when I was doing a panel. Ooh. Then he did a panel.
Back to back.
Yeah, we were on back to back panels. And this is my favorite guy, Andrew T. Anyway, hi, Andrew.
What were you saying? I don't have an AKA because I got texted like at 8
zero
this
hour.
Morning.
Yep.
Being like, can you come on the show? I'm mildly insulted that you thought 8 was too early to text me.
I just think of it as like business hours. I don't picture you as a guy who's like sleep. I know you to be like a pretty active dude, so I figure like you're up pretty like at a reasonable time. I just like
I was
to
up
apologize.
Too early. Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. I understand. Thank you. Well, thank you,
Asian side of me is like, I have to lead with an apology up top and then be like, hey, I'm sorry for, and then anyway.
Sorry to bother you, however. Yeah.
Sorry to bother you, however. Help me. Yeah. Wait, but what about the alarms?
In the clock radio days, and this is maybe just because I was like in high school and it was like I was not doing so well and needed something jarring to wake me up.
Sure,
but what I would do is I would purposefully tune my clock radio, my analog clock radio, to between two stations.
Holy
so that
shit.
It was the most god-awful thing you could hear. So like you cannot sleep through it.
Oh my God.
It is like discordant and like terrible. And like you have to get up or else it will drive you mad.
Yeah, I guess once I'm disrupted from my sleep, like I'm just up and I'm angry. Like I remember as a kid, I used to do the snooze until like my parents were like, you have failed out of high school because you just haven't gone because you're asleep still. But now, like once I'm up, I'm up. So I'd rather just have something delicate to bring me in.
I see. Yeah, yeah. I guess I'm a heavy sleeper. So I just need it.
Yeah.
My Majesty. My Duchess is such a fragile sleeper. She got a product where it simulates the sun rising in our room.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We have blackout curtains.
Right.
And then it starts, the light comes up. The goal is to be woken up by the light. And then if that doesn't wake you up, the violent noise that it makes is a gorgeous flute right after. So it is so peaceful that you are now tired again. As soon as you wake up, you're ready to go back to bed. But she loves it. And yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. What I would need is the product version of that, but it's revealed that the slow the growing glow is like a nuclear blast. That's like maybe like 20 miles away.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna
die. With sunburn. By the end of it,
yeah. You have 8 minutes.
Yeah, your shadow is burnt into your bed sheets by the end of it. That's a grim reference. But anyway, Andrew, thank you for joining us. We're going to talk to you a little bit more. We're going to let people know up top what we're going to be talking about this episode. Mm-hmm. Who knows if we get to any of these stories, because look, it's just a whole garden of chaos. But we're going to talk about Biden's Gaza peer plan. Already just vague and seemingly potentially a disaster, even more than it should be. We'll talk about those Amazon Fresh just grab and go stores. Like, you don't even need a credit card, dude. We know, dude. All this AI. Well, a secret has been revealed about the technology, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it's not AI.
Is it uplifting? Is it nice?
Yeah, it is uplifting. Yeah? Okay. It is uplifting. To know that Silicon Valley is just absolutely full of bullshit. Yeah. Then we'll talk about RFK2 and he is either suffering from debilitating memory loss or he's just totally full of shit. News at 11. And we'll get to the bottom of that. And then we might have time to check in with J-Lo because the tour wasn't doing so good. But some, maybe a little rebrand might help ticket sales. Either way, we're going to get to all of that. But first, Andrew T., Andrule, mommy, T-I-T-I.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, what's something from your search history or something you recently screencapped?
Here's an actual question, though, before that. Mm-hmm. Has the Zeit Gang ever, because now the AKAs in my years of being on the show have grown, I would say, exponentially in length. Mm-hmm. How far are we from a full Daily Zeitgeist musical episode?
Whoa.
I just think every headline could have multiple songs, and I just think it's doable. I'm pitching this now.
I mean, look, I would bring you on. I mean, we would need a writer's room for that, to be honest. There's only so much Jack and JM can do. So
I mildly disagree. I just think you could outsource enough of this. AKAs, but for news headlines.
Right.
I'm just throwing it out there. We'll see. I just think a full musical.
Right.
Is in the works. Man.
Andrew Lloyd Yamaguchi man.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think you're right.
So, there. A bit of drama. I realized. Mm-hmm. That's right. There was a little AKA drama. I redoubled on a Christy Yamaguchi main AKA yesterday about having gum problems. And then Lockeroni also did it. And I'm seeing it play out in the Discord. You know what? That's on me. I knew there was something.
Edit this out.
I have to write the ship. So I seize you. My bad. Anyway. Shall we get to it? What's something from your search history or something you screencapped recently? Screenshotted?
Search history. All right. So this is some shit that I'm going to do. I think when I was on, a couple weeks ago, I talked about, apparently I'm on a make stuff that is disgusting culinary kick.
Okay.
Because I saw this recipe around, I guess, the holidays. But now I think because I have a Chicago-based friend who has a gift-giving situation, I'm going to make the fucking Malort cookies.
Oh.
Who here has had Malort?
When we did live show in Chicago, it was Daniel Van Kirk, obviously the chosen child of Illinois. He was like, you got to drink Malort up there on stage.
Yeah.
And we had it. And I was like, golly, this it is herbaceous.
What is this?
Amazing because it's Malort is like every city has its gross. You got to try this liquor. Not every city, but like regions, it's like kind of everywhere. Yeah. Malort is unique because I think it's, correct me if I'm wrong, folks, it's one of the few like gross, you got to try this liquors that is not anise based on Earth.
Right.
Almost every other culture's you got to fucking try this gross thing is anise somehow.
Right.
So Malort is a liqueur that my best guess is that it's grapefruit pith.
I'm looking this up now. It does say grapefruit pith. here, a dehydrated
Jepson's Malort grapefruit piss.
Yeah.
I'm reading that.
It's a Basque. It's got an umlaut over the A. It's a Swedish drink. Wait, it's flavored with anise or wormwood.
I don't see that.
Anus.
But yeah. But unlike like a Sambuca or a fucking
Ouzo or
any number of like, oh, this is the grossest thing our country got, which all tastes the same somehow.
Right.
This one genuinely does not taste like it. It tastes like if you just like took a grapefruit and an unripe grapefruit and bit it like an apple.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
It's so weirdly, like, specifically gross.
Yeah, there is a sensation. I kind of like it. I didn't mind. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was more like, damn, that was fucking it was more like the experience was intense. I wasn't more like, I need to, like, drink a soda now.
It's acrid. Oh, you said soda like Chicago. It's acrid and, like, it's overwhelmingly bitter, unlike other, you know, unlike a, you know, even a fucking Jägermeister. It's not super sweet or whatever. Anyway, so I saw this recipe for Malort cookies that are basically grapefruit chocolate, like grapefruit and cocoa powder sugar cookies with a Malort glaze on it. And it sounds disgusting, but yeah, I have a friend from Chicago whose birthday it is, and they're getting Malort cookies and some Malort.
Okay. That's very kind of you, first of all, to go through the trouble. You're a very good friend. Mm-hmm. I can't get it. Even the color of the liquor, which
it's unpleasant.
It's upset. It's darker.
It is dehydrated. Like it looks like a piss bottle you'd find in a stairwell of like a garage structure.
Correct.
In LA
or your closet.
Yeah. Or my closet. Thank you. Yeah. You saw that 2 liter, huh? That I got going.
I did. You work so hard. You don't have time to go to the bathroom and you don't hydrate well. So yeah, no. You should. So where else you can put it?
I call it a Malort. Yeah. Like they say.
And once you start, once you have a liter and a half, you gotta top it off.
I'm a completionist, baby. You know what I mean? That's why I'm watching the rest of The Gentlemen. I'm like, it started off my fine, but I'm like, I've already invested too much time. I might as well top off this 2 liter piss bottle.
It's a burden.
Andrew, what's something you think is underrated?
I think something that is underrated is something I did yesterday that I forgot that I haven't done in a while, which is just putting the vegan thing in a not vegan place. To wit, I had...
That sounds naughty, but go on.
Burger Lords?
Oh, yeah. Is that?
Burger Lords has a vegan burger.
Right.
That is it's a burger place in Los Angeles. I went to the one in Highland Park.
It's in Highland Park, right? Yeah.
And they have a vegan burger that's quite good.
Yeah.
In that it's like a little on the like falafel-y side. It's like there's like a lot of grain in it and there's a lot of like kind of visible texture. And yeah, it's just like a nice kind of like a patty of something.
Yeah.
And I just got that. I got a double burger with one beef, one vegan.
Oh,
fun, great.
Nice.
Whoa, you're down for the swirl like that, Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was like, they're genuinely really different. It is a burger that doesn't really try to like emulate. It's not like a just worse meat burger.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like its own thing. And I was like, oh yeah.
I love like vegan hamburger. It really like with Impossible and stuff. It's really like it. Mm-hmm. The experience isn't that much different to me, especially if you use like normal cheese. Then I'm like, fuck it. I won't eat the beef.
Yeah.
I'll eat the cheese. And look at me.
It's better. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the vegan Whopper is, I think this one I'm positive I have said on this show before, but I'll say it again.
Yeah.
The Whopper.
Yeah.
The Whopper really highlights that the taste of a Whopper is just fake smoke and mayonnaise and raw.
Right. Perfect. Yeah.
Like anything else could be in there. So it is like, you can't be eating a beef Whopper.
Wexler, much experience with the vegan burgers or what? You're still pure beef. What do you do?
I have a life. Time? I have 3 years left and my life expectancy is quite, I've hit my ceiling already. I'm on borrowed time.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I get it.
Andrew, I have a question for you. So you said, you ordered a vegan patty and so it was a double. So they were both
between
the same buns.
Yeah.
How did you order it?
Oh yeah.
Did they hesitate at all, or were you like, order two separates and then you
come out?
Yeah,
because they have an option for a double anyway.
Oh, cool.
And I just said, can I just get a double, but can I just get one of them vegan? And it is true. The guy taking my order looked at me, sighed, looked down at the like wow. computer. I was like, okay.
And he's like,
so it was admittedly a pain in the ass.
He's
but
like, Mark, how do I ring this up, dude? This guy wants one beef, one fucking V. I don't know, dude.
Because it's a perfectly reasonable request. It just would sound odd to the ear for the first time, where my friend Todd, he would do a thing where he would order a small coffee in a large cup, and it would be because he wanted to add like a bunch of milk to it, which is not cool, but like that's what he would do. And he also was like, oh, but you also get more, you get charged for a small, but they will give you a medium.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's a shit.
This is what, this kind of shit Todd Glass is teaching you, man.
Yes, that's why he was my mentor. Yeah, and that's why I order. I have a massive, like a 64-gallon drum I'm drinking out of.
What the fuck? Looks like methylamine, a barrel of methylamine from Breaking Bad. Yeah, with the bumblebee.
Is that the fabled Stanley Cup? Is that what that is?
Is that
this,
Stanley?
This is. I have a. I'm going to put a child in it. And
Blake has a construction orange Stanley Cup that does genuinely look more like a cone.
Look at this tormented promo cup I've got. Yellowstone insulated Lord. Mug.
That's how I let white people
know I'm safe. I bring this. I go,
I got fucking nothing.
Yeah. Oh, you got to have a cup that shows you're safe, baby.
He's an ally.
I did see a this is the part of fucking, I guess, like TikTok, Instagram reels that I'm on. The suggested hack, which was to a similar idea as that you get more in the small cup or small drink, big cup idea is when you're at Chipotle, right when they're about to give you the second scoop of beans, go, oh, actually, could I get half and half beans? Because what they do is typically drop the scoop they already have, they're like, fuck it, it's already in the spoon, it's going in. And then they give you another scoop of the other bean.
Wow. Yeah.
Beans. Classically the single cheapest food
I know.
You can have.
Yes. I know. It's like you found a hack for free guac or some shit. You're like, like even they're like, dude, if you just look, you could have just asked me to hook it up. I don't give a fuck. These are beans, man.
I bring my own can.
Andrew, what's something you think is overrated?
Anyone cooking on TikTok or Instagram. These are all food. I'm realizing now.
I like that.
It's good.
I should have had
what lunch. Specific I'm on, you know, I like to cook too, so a lot of the shit those algorithms feed me, pun intended, is a lot of cooking stuff. But like sometimes I like one thing I like to do is if there's a dish from abroad that I'm trying to make, then I will like to see how
Excuse me, we don't use that phrase anymore. That's crazy. What you're
saying. Thing that a female is making.
Thank you.
Somewhere from some far flung foreign country that I like to look. Then I like to look at their version because usually it's different than the like Food Network, like whatever you find on an internet search. But what do you like? What dimension of the cooking videos you talking
that
about?
That I think is probably true. But that I think there's a difference between those are like typically a little more like journalistic-y. But I guess what I mean is like anyone doing like the demo type thing. Not anyone, but most of them. And even the ones that are good cooks are incentivized to add too much shit. I do think, and this is 100% going to get me canceled, but...
It's okay, you're already canceled.
Almost everyone on TikTok is over-seasoning and over-complicating their food. It's just like there's take. Just too... And it's because they're trying to avoid the comments that are like, no seasoning, I get it. Like, I get what they're dodging, but I have cooked before, and I've cooked many of the things they're making, and I'm like, that's too much.
That's too much. Also, like, the amount of salt I see going in things sometimes, I'm like, first of all, salt at the fucking end. Don't fucking dive in with your salt because you can't take that back. Mm-mm. There's no take
back. But I think it's because it's televised. They don't have to They don't have to eat it. They just have to make it, and they're highly incentivized to fucking. And the other thing is, I think there's a, you know, the sort of stunt chefery of like, oh, I made fucking oxtail, then I put it inside of a ham, and this shit. It's not good. I just wish people could cook and had a little. This is broadly for everything. I just wish they had a little capacity for evaluating bullshit. But this is just something I know about, and I'm like, get the fuck out of here with this food.
Right.
It's not going to turn out.
Get the fuck out of here with this food. I love that. I think the one thing, I got to put people on. If you really like cooking, there's this one dude on YouTube. I found this Japanese chef named George, but it's spelled in katakana Joji. And it's like, it's all techers. It's all technique. Like shit I didn't know about how to like really bring all of the flavor out of an onion if you're like if you're putting it in a pan, or like how to just like, it's just more details that I appreciate, because like the technique is half the battle. Anyway, we can do this all day. Follow me on live where I'll be cooking a meat patty oversalted In-N-Out style later
what
today.
What time? Okay.
Just kind of like every half hour for the rest of the day.
Yeah exactly. What's something you think is overrated? Did we do that already?
Yes, cooking on TikTok.
That's right.
What are you doing?
No, I do have one more, though. Something that's overrated is not seeing Godzilla versus Kong. Holy shit. It's so good.
Dude, I've been trying really so fucking hard to see it, but it's not streaming anywhere. I fucked myself over by not catching it in theaters.
Oh, no. The new one that's out now. Godzilla X Kong.
Oh, Godzilla minus the Japanese one. Oh, is that one
good? Oh, no. Godzilla minus one is genuinely good. That's fucking whatever.
Yeah.
Godzilla X Kong, they basically figured out it's just pro wrestling.
Right.
Like, amazing. There's exactly. nothing more. I mean, so deeply great.
For sure. I was like, oh, these motherfuckers jumped a shark when I saw King Kong put a fucking power glove on.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes.
I'm sorry. Is he like an engineer? He built that to his own specifications? Because
he is a guy.
He's like, I need a tool to use.
Without spoiling it, I will just say the explanation for why he has the power glove is tedious and unnecessary, and it's one of the perfect bathroom break times.
But airtight.
Yeah.
It's completely airtight. It's just like
you walk out. There's the other part is when they're about to do a little ceremony. Every single person, so I saw it twice this weekend. So the first time I was like, I can tell this is bathroom time. And I went to the bathroom, and then the second time I saw it, I was like, well, I should just see what I missed. And everyone else I was with went to the bathroom during that moment. And I was in Alamo, where they have those little order cards. And I wrote a note for everyone that said, you didn't miss anything. This is the perfect bathroom break.
Wow. Amazing. Look at
doing
you.
The work.
Perfect.
You saw it twice, though.
Yeah, I saw it once. And then the next day, it was my friend's birthday. And he was like, you know, all I want to do is see a matinee of Godzilla X Kong. And he was like, fuck it, I'm in.
Wow. Done. That's a fucking homie right there. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about the news after this.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and
Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
And we're back. And just to kick off with some global news, I want to talk quickly about Biden's pier plan that he's building in Gaza. So during the State of the Union last month, Joe Biden basically said, he's like, yeah, there's a humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza for sure. Now, I could maybe like lean on the government to maybe do something different. But instead, how about this? A temporary floating pier built by the military that will now allow the delivery of humanitarian aid on a large scale. And a lot of people are like, really? Most people were in the beginning are like, that sounds like a real, like a terrible Trojan horse. Or like, it's a pier for aid or more boots into, it could be used so in many different
ways. What is aid, really?
Right.
Yeah.
And he promised people there would be no boots on the ground from the United States. And following that announcement, Republicans and Democrats seemed just like logistically puzzled. They're like, okay, but they're building it, but there's no boots. Oh, because they'll be on the water, technically? Well, what's going on? So, nevertheless, it's already underway. Ships departed for Gaza just days after the State of the Union. And there have been no concrete details that have actually been made public because they're like, it's, you know, security concerns. But just in general, there's a lot like without like needing a lot of detail. They're like, can you at least answer this? Like, if this is an emergency mission, you said it's going to take 2 months. Like, what are we doing here? If it's that urgent, then 2 months seems like a very long time, especially because even by the White House's estimate, 100% of the population in Gaza is at severe levels of acute food insecurity, which is the first time an entire population has been so classified in the entire population. So his plan has like aid groups are like, I don't know why we're going to spend 2 months when like we've seen literal hundreds of trucks full of aid and supplies ready to be delivered. But the Israeli government is blocking their entry. And in the south, their aid is being blocked by a lot of like this inspection process where like there are even things like water or metal forks are being rejected. So there are some just very basic questions about this plan that have just not been answered. And they say like the official word is up to 2 million meals per day could be delivered through this pier. And again, they said, but no U.S. troops will set foot in Gaza. But who will be making these deliveries is what journalists were asking at the Pentagon. They're like, okay, they're building the pier, but like, who's actually going to be doing the distribution here? And this Pentagon spokesperson, Sabrina Singh, did not have a great answer. It was sort of like, ooh, boy, yeah. I'll just play her response to just a very straightforward question of like, who distributes the aid once pier is built? Because it sounds like it may have to be American troops. This is her answer from the Pentagon.
Like, so that's still something that's being worked out right now. And in terms of the distribution, that's not something that the U.S. military will be involved in. We are, you know, the logistics, setting up, coordinating the movement of the humanitarian aid from either the floating pier or to that floating causeway. But that's something that, in terms of how the distribution of aid is going to happen once it gets into Gaza, that's not something that, you know, we're handling. In terms of contracts or, you know, how that's going to be done, whether it's through partners and allies, NGOs, I just don't have that for you right now.
This is a very serious mission where we've told people there will be no American military presence on the ground there. But we just haven't worked that part out, which
a line.
Just
people can line up. I think we'll leave
it. It's really
they can take a dinghy or something to the Zeppelin. It's just very, very vague, and that's very problematic given like what the situation
the
is.
Urgence. It really is wild how like clearly like Tim Robinson took over as head writer of the White House in the last 6 months. It's just like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
I don't fucking know. Like, what if that's what she said instead?
Yeah.
It's fucking, like, what am I supposed to fucking do? Yeah, we're very not sure. And Yeah, and now I guess then the plan would be, they said if there's concern over safety, then Israel will establish a, quote, security bubble to protect the U.S. soldiers. But now it's like Israel's deploying soldiers to protect the U.S. soldiers who are building a massive structure that only is built to circumvent a blockade maintained by Israeli soldiers. It just feels like there's a very straightforward solution if you're trying to deliver aid, and it would be to use the trucks and the entry points there. So, yeah, this is a lot of the reason why, too, because of all the vagueness here, a lot of Palestinians and observers are very skeptical about the project, being like, this looks like an occupation port, potentially. Like, this will allow U.S. military entry into Gaza. And on the more cynical end, it could be a place for deportation. So we're still not quite clear what Joe Biden or the Pentagon or whatever is going on. But again, I think it's part and parcel of a lot of like tonal shifting from the White House rather than policy shifting, where people are saying like, hey, maybe fucking, to put it lightly, knock it off.
It's just jazz, baby. This is jazzicide, you know, we're just trying to do whatever the fuck works or doesn't work
or just trying it. Or just, yeah, man, look, we got some things floating out there. Come on, why am I the bad guy? Come on, you know, let's just get over it for a second. Yeah, we shall see what is happening there, because the situation does not get better. And by every day, we're only hearing things get worse and worse. On to something else, I guess a bit disheartening news for people who just love AI so much. Do y'all remember in 2016 when Amazon were like, we got a new concept, y'all, for a store that's so advanced and futuristic that it will barely need human labor to operate? And then Wall Street was like, barely need human labor. Yay. Yes, go on, go off, Jeff. Tell us more. These like Amazon Fresh stores, or Amazon Go stores, kind of colloquially known, just had a simple concept. Just walk in, grab whatever the fuck you want, walk the fuck out, and then you get your bill just like that. You're not shoplifting, baby. It's because we got magic behind the scenes. This is what they said in their initial press release when they unveiled the search. Quote, when people ask, especially, how do you tabulate what people owe? Like this seems like this cannot go well. Quote, our checkout-free shopping experience is made possible by the same types of technologies used in self-driving cars, computer vision, sensor fusion, and deep learning. Oh boy. Our just walk out technology automatically detects when products are taken from or returned to the shelves and keeps track of them in a virtual cart. Before I get into the reveal here, have you seen, I know that like there are these stores around New York. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm getting, I almost lost my breath. Yeah, I know okay, that there are. Okay. I know whenever there's bad news about Amazon, I get very emotional.
Sad.
Because
it's so sad.
It's anyway,
they don't understand us.
Have any of you been to the Grab and Go store, whether that be in Seattle or another place? I know that's where it originated, but then there's about like 40 stores nationwide that have the technology.
I've been in the Barclays Center. They have one for drinks. So you can just walk in, grab a beer, and then walk out. And I don't care whatever technological thing you're about to drop on us. Mm-hmm. I think these stores are important because it gives you the rush of stealing, which is something that I've never had, you know? So it's like, okay, I feel that's not
you never
true.
Stole?
I've never
you gotta try it, bro.
I've never
you gotta
publicly
try it.
Had. I've never yeah. officially in
that's
print
right.
had.
I'm with you.
No. Yes. I've come up, bro. I used to come up all the fucking time in high school. I would, that's me.
Bootstraps. I steal jokes. I steal, but I won't steal a physical item.
I'll steal sense? Entire sets of comedians that people have forgotten about.
Entire personalities.
I took a whole Stephen Wright 1 hour Comedy Central special. Mm-hmm. I just did it with a little more charisma.
Just said it. Just
said it. Mm-hmm. And people loved it.
Because two wrongs do make a right, a Stephen Wright.
Two people
steal his material.
Yes, there he is.
But yes, there is a feeling of, does this really work?
Yeah, work.
Does this work? And I appreciate that rush. So yes, I have used it before.
So
Andrew,
it turns out.
Oh, no, here, can I ask Andrew? Can I ask Andrew for a second? Can I ask Andrew
I'm
for a second?
You are the co-host. Yes.
Andrew, have you?
I have not, but actually the only one I've ever seen is similarly at the, now it's the BMO Stadium where my beloved Angel City get their asses kicked week in, week out. And they have now instituted at the vegan fried chicken joint, they have a line that is supposed to be Amazon grab and go. And I have noticed every single time I'm at the stadium, not a soul is in that line because I assume it doesn't work.
Well, yeah, or
it's so fast.
Because when it first came out, people were like, they're like, it's weird. Like, I didn't get a bill till like hours later. And people were like, what the fuck was going on? Well, Amazon recently announced that they're like going to be like throttling these back because they're just really cost intensive. And when you really like pull the curtain back, we come to find out the magic wasn't fucking AI. I guess it was, but by AI, we mean a team of over 1,000 workers in India that were meticulously watching and labeling video footage to ensure accuracy. That's what the fucking magical store was. Just sending a video feed to another office abroad to then just say, all right, man, can you add up all the shits and just make sure that all this other technology is actually working?
So cashiers.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was apparently, dude, it was. Apparently, this shit was, it was so good that 70% of sales had to be reviewed by a human because all this fucking fusion, sensor fusion, deep learning shit, the only learning that was happening were these people manually training the fucking machine learning shit to be able to be, to be able to identify products more accurately.
I am actually genuinely surprised that this was AI at all. I will say in my head, I just assumed there was like an RFID thing in each product, and when you walked out, it would beep each thing.
And apparently there's like all these other sensors that were so expensive to develop, and they just never
don't work.
They're just like, fuck it, man, just get some people to watch the fucking video and add it up so we can make this shit work better. And I think it just goes to show you like just how much bullshit is surrounding us, especially in the tech sector, especially when like coming from Silicon Valley, like all these promises of like, it's this new thing, dude. It's fucking magic. And it's just a fucking mechanical Turk, dude. Yeah. That's all it is. And for people who don't remember that, it was a chess playing machine from the fucking 1800s where a dude hid inside and they're like, this magical machine can beat people at chess. A dude was fucking hiding in the box. So that's what this fucking
It's always
is.
It's always a guy. It's always two children. It's always a guy in a trench coat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird, too, how much of, like, the energy of AI is devoted towards saving labor costs at the literal lowest labor cost possible.
Right.
Like, who the fuck cares if there are cashiers? Seriously.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck are you... Like, replacing cashiers is the least important thing.
Yeah.
Like, even from a cold money-wise thing.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? Why?
Yeah. No one's ever like, I mean, I get it. Again, if you like to come up, then you don't fuck with a cashier.
That's right.
I'm sorry. You got me saying cashier like you say it. I like cashier.
Cashier.
It feels a little more exotic. But also, I enjoy the interaction at the supermarket when I'm checking out.
Yeah.
Especially because sometimes you get people who are like chatty and like, well, I was at fucking the supermarket the other day. The checkout person was talking so long that the person next in line had to be like, I'm sorry. I think this transaction is done.
What a
nightmare.
I was like,
look, they were telling me about how this used to be a fucking solid gig in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they've been doing this. So why don't you have fucking pay some respect?
Look,
open your ears.
Yeah.
I don't even like the fucking self-checkout thing. And my new thing I've started saying to people, like when the employees are like, oh, the self-checkout line is open.
Yeah.
And my new response is, I won't be able to help myself from stealing from you if I go there. So
that's I'm good. Stick to the
I'm sorry. I'm a kleptomaniac.
I'm going to steal from you if I use that. So I don't think so. Not today.
Medically, I need to be in this line for my mental health. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever, the other day, at the same store, I saw like a mislabeled pack of chicken that was price was way too low.
Gotcha.
I had to do it to him. I had to do it.
You have to.
That's not on you.
You have to.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Chicken thighs? Mm-hmm. They're so easy. Mm. They're so, again, underrated. People who sleep on dark meat, I'm so sorry. Y'all are fooling yourselves.
This is tough. The rating system for dark meat is so polarized because this underrated means you just think your audience is over indexes for white people.
No. I'm saying people like
that. And I won't have that.
People like that. Most of the time, right, you get a chicken breast. Most of the time, you're served chicken breast at a restaurant.
Yeah.
So most people are used to eating it. Chicken tenders or the breast tenders. So most people are used to eating that kind of meat. And again, I know people who know, obviously, It's the most juicy, delicious, succulent part, baby. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody eats dark meat, but I'm just saying, switch over, because it's also hard to fuck up. Like, you can't. Yeah. It's really hard to dry out a thigh. That's also just from an ease of use perspective. That's what I'm saying.
People can't cook. Again, people don't know how to
check out my Instagram. I'm going to be frying a chicken thigh on the concrete for 1 hour. All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll just check in with J-Lo and RFK too. Why not? After this.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do.
Well,
go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu. And we're back. RFK 2. I guess RFK Jr. I like saying RFK 2.
I was enjoying the outro to the last segment where it did sort of sound like J-Lo and RFK were on tour together.
Yes. I know. Yeah. That, I mean, who knows? That might help for ticket sales.
Can't hurt.
Tickets are available.
Tickets are available.
They are
widely available. Yeah. Please, please.
Look, by all means.
We got RFK coming too. So if y'all anti-vaxxers, you can come through and hear a couple conspiracy theories
some
in between.
Floor seats.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
I'm real. And Ja Rule will be there too. So anyway, RFK Jr. has been in and out of the spotlight, obviously, since he announced he's running for office, whether it's tales of people farting loudly during his arguments over whether or not Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people were immune to COVID, or about how he lied about celebrities coming to his fucking birthday party. He's always getting attention for the wrong reasons. And sadly, he continues to make things worse for himself, because every time he's in these stories, he just denies they ever happened. But people are like, dude, you said it, or like your people sent the email. What do you mean? Like, you had nothing to do with it. And recently he was on Chris Cuomo's show. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Where Cuomo brought up the fact, he's like, you know what, dude, just for the record, but you got a pretty wild fucking track record of saying freaky shit. Like, all kinds. I remember you said Bill Gates was going to put 5G in people's brains and stuff and take your money or something like that. And then yeah, your COVID conspiracies, you're an anti-vaxxer, you're kind of one of the biggest faces of the anti-vax movement, and also your 9/11 stuff. And I'm just going to play this clip because he just does not, just does not want to talk about it at all, like in this very, very, very like suspicious way again. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he has some kind of debilitating memory loss, or maybe he's just full of shit. But here, you decide.
To that suggestion that whether it's 9/11 or the deep state or vaccines, that you believe wacky things.
I don't know what you're talking about. 9/11. I don't recall saying anything about 9/11. But you know, I don't call it a conspiracy.
Came out of the Bergen interview.
I do not.
Well, in the Bergen interview, where you were saying you're not sure what happened. You know what I'm talking about, Bobby. I'm not. You know me. I'm not trying to be sneaky about it.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to be coy, Chris. I think if you go back and look at that interview or any interview, I never voiced a conspiracy theory.
Okay, sir, you can't. This is something no one can do in the year of our Lord 2024. You can't be like, go check the tape, motherfucker. Everything is there. So again, in this clip, people just said, okay, here it is. Let's just cut to that interview Chris Cuomo is referencing and just hear what version of the 9/11 thing he was in on.
I know there's strange things that happen that don't seem.
What are the strange things?
Well, one of the buildings came down that wasn't hit by a plane. So, it wasn't building 7 or building 10.
That collapsed because two of the world's biggest buildings collapsed on top of it.
No, they didn't collapse on top of it. My offices were down there. My offices were closed.
So one of the buildings next to the Trade Center.
No, there's pictures of it collapsing. There's nothing collapsing on top.
He goes on and on. And I think this is interesting about Building 7. After the investigation, they're saying that all of this debris from the collapse started all these fires within the building and like burnt the floor out. And then a major structural column failed. And that's why it collapsed. And he's just like, I don't know, man. I was down. My offices were down there. I'm just saying weird stuff, but I wonder if, like, again, do you think in his mind he's like, that's not a conspiracy theory because it's true? And that's true. Why he's like denying it? Or if he's just like, look, bro, look, why you got to press me right now, man? I'm trying to be an unserious candidate for president right now.
For once, I'm like glad that I'm not a part of one of these legendary political families because I don't have access to whatever tanning bed the Kennedys and the Cuomos use. Because whatever it is a faulty bet.
Yeah, orange look theory. Like shit. Yeah, for real. They really, their goose is cooked. They look like a roasted turkey, for sure.
Their thighs are dried out.
Mm. Those thighs, definitely dry.
The leathery thighs.
Oh, yeah. Brittle.
Delicious.
But yeah, it's just so, like, so good. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's interesting, too, because even with all this, right, he's still polling in a way that has both Republicans and Democrats being like, what the fuck? This guy could really fuck shit up. But, because we talk about how slim the margins are, especially in some of these swing states. And if enough people go the RFK way, that could be great news for either Biden or Trump. Depends on whose polling you're looking at. But the thing is, there's still one unknown about all of this. He's currently only on one ballot for November. Because when you run as an independent, you need to gather a certain amount of signatures to get onto the ballot, so you get that ballot access. Mm. So right now, the state of Utah is the only one where I believe, like, as of this reporting, he is officially on the ballot. He keeps saying things like, I'm in the process. We're getting out there in Nevada, North Carolina, New Hampshire, a couple other places. And then those secretaries of state for those places are like, we don't have any shit from him yet. Like, the deadline's coming up. We don't have nothing from him. I'd imagine he's probably close, because why spend all this fucking money just to be like, well, y'all can vote for me in Utah. Like, that's not a proper candidacy. And I think that's why a lot of people have looked at his new VP pick, the very wealthy Silicon Valley lawyer, Nicole Shanahan, with some raised eyebrows and be like, oh, okay, maybe you need her cash to help your ballot access mission here. So we're not quite sure where this ends up, but I mean, we could know very soon. I mean, within the next few months, like, it'll be clear how far along he is, because some of those deadlines are approaching, like in April and May.
And hey, I will just say, listen, I think it's been pretty clear the Democrats are not exactly canny political operators or good at this at their basic jobs, but they should be able to run a campaign where he is not a problem. A problem.
That should be on them. I think it's probably right. They're like, they're keeping their powder dry, so to speak, to be like, right now we got to go all in on just basically being like, Trump is bad. And don't talk about like the promise of what a Biden administration part two would look like. Just focus on him bad.
Him bad.
But
it truly is like, it's like, I mean, if it's like this disconnect, if you need people this disconnected from reality to win against Donald Trump,
right?
You shouldn't have a political party that needs these people.
For real. Did you see that there's a new Dave Attell special on Netflix? I was like, I haven't heard from that guy in years. And he had this one joke. He's like, he was talking about Trump. He's like, but don't worry, I'm a Biden man. Hunter Biden.
Stupid joke. Classic Dave Attell joke.
Perfect Dave Attell joke. I'm a Biden man. Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
Oh, man. But Blake, are you feeling the itch for RFK too, or no? You're out on him. You're a Hunter Biden man, right?
I'm a Biden. I was an RFK one guy for a while.
You know, I'm RFK Mike. Yeah,
it's RFK hard. You know, the sequel's never better than the original. But like, he does. Every time, he's one of those guys where you think he's crazy. The idea of him in your head has to be crazier than the real thing, you know, because we tend to caricaturize like people. And then you watch clips of him. It's like, no, that's pretty spot on. Yeah, he does look that way. He does talk that way. He does say those things. He does believe those things. Okay. Oh, he does do those push-ups with that form. He's always the same.
Wait, what's his push-up form?
Perfect.
Wait, no.
He seems like a guy that does perfect push-ups.
Is he?
Oh, yeah, he loves them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember that when he was like wearing like denim jeans, looking like he was like an 80s like prison gang type dude.
It was a breathable denim. It was one of those breathable workout denims.
Yeah.
Now we almost have certainly to watch this clip
from a company that has advertised on Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Okay. Yep.
Let's go.
Oh, he keeps it low. He's really trying to engage those triceps. Really low. Yeah, good for him.
Got to.
Yeah.
Where is he working out? It looks like I'm sorry, is he already?
I think it's outside of SoFi Stadium.
Yo, he was gassed after like six.
I mean, he's pretty old. It's pretty good.
I know,
for
but he's got. But do you see how fucking big his arms were?
But he looks like he'd been doing push-ups already.
Earlier. Yo, that's right.
We caught him mid.
I just burnt out my tries, dude. Yeah. I just did that, bro.
You're late.
Also, it's rich coming from a guy who would do like two push-ups and be like, I need to smoke weed for the rest of the day. Not for me.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find a way. Yeah, I find it much easier to work out if I'm a little stoned. Oh, okay. Because I hate working out.
Yeah.
Here is, I'm trying to find a way to make this joke without advocating political assassination, because I think it's
good luck.
mostly wrong.
Good disclaimer.
Except for that dude in Japan who just like changed everything.
Yeah. We just hit him with that PVC shotgun.
Yeah.
Well, it was wild too, because after that, people were like, the way the media in Japan handled it wasn't like, yo, this dude is wild. What the fuck is going on? How dare he? They're like, well, what made him want to go after Shinzo Abe? And then they're like, whoa, hold on a second. And then that really fucking disrupted a lot of the party politics in Japan. Not in a revolutionary way, but enough that the whole thing became about, maybe he has something. Maybe he was onto something. But anyway, with this RFK joke that you're
I'm just trying to find it somehow. But since you keep calling him RFK too, I am looking for some version of, we just need Sirhan.
Sirhan to the fourth power.
Listen, probably don't assassinate anyone, almost certainly.
No, not at all.
Yeah. It usually never works.
Usually never wins, but sometimes can shift the conversation. Okay. Let's move on to another character from our lives. Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo.
J-Lo won.
This is the quick one. Because last month, right, I don't know if, did any of you catch that? I started watching that Amazon thing she did because I knew it was just going to be fucking all over the place. And I couldn't
quite.
I didn't
watch it.
Yeah. It's like a fever dream musical, basically.
Amazing. Yeah.
I think she probably saw like how Beyonce was doing visual albums. She's like, oh, I can do that shit.
Watch yeah. It. I'm a little surprised that, well, no, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
Go ahead with the headline.
Well, no, what do you mean? Surprised at what? That she attempted it?
No. Go ahead. I'll be surprised at the thing you say next. I'm only surprised because I'm reading ahead in the document.
No, that's fine. That's fine. It's called ruining the segment, Andrew. So basically, she had this tour like launching alongside this like visual musical album, whatever thing she did on Amazon. But she just quietly canceled like the last 7 stops on the new tour because of alleged, quote, logistical issues with the promoter. And then most people were like, I think it's because all of these tickets aren't sold. But who knows? And because of that, I think it lends a little bit more credence to that idea, that theory, because now J-Lo has also rebranded the name of her tour from the This Is Me ellipsis now, which is the, you know, name of the Amazon thing, to now, This Is Me, Live, The Greatest Hits.
Yes.
And to me, that sounds like you're just trying to be like, hey, man, I know that musical shit was way too confusing, but trust me, J-Lo is back, baby. And we're going to have Waiting For Tonight. Whoa. With all that shit. I'm Real, all those hits. So please buy a ticket. I don't know. I mean, are we all in agreement here that may be what the case is here? If you suddenly retitle your tour to be like, okay, not the new album, just all the good stuff I made.
Yeah. Yeah. No new shit.
Right. The hits, right. Right.
Proven. You will like this. There's data. And
Jennifer Lopez. Enjoyable.
Jennifer Lopez. If you had my love for 3 hours straight on a loop, are you ready? Are you ready? But yeah, I don't know. I hope it works out for her. But I still always, I don't know if any of you, there's this Vanity Fair piece that was written in the lead up to her releasing this Amazon thing. And I bring this up a lot because it's just so funny. It's a very like honest, like reporting on the process of her making this Amazon thing where everyone in her life that is important to her told her to not do it.
Oh.
And that like, please, like, you don't need to do this. Like, it's going to be difficult. Even Ben Affleck's like, I'm telling you, like, I've made shit on my own. It's not easy. And it's going to cost so much fucking money when nobody wants to do it. Like, it's just like, nobody wants to have my back. None of it. So
I just didn't realize this was like considered such an overreach. Like, I guess I didn't realize that like J-Lo is that much less popular than.
I think, well, it was more it was the direction of this thing, which was like this like deep abstract deep dive into her subconscious love life.
Right.
And
right.
Having all these very confusing visuals, like all these people, like there was like a council of astrological signs played by different people, like Sad Guru, the YouTube guy, and like Neil deGrasse Tyson and like Jane Fonda's in it. There's like a bunch of just weird stuff in it. And people are like, I don't know. I think what they want to say is like, girl, I don't know if this is like good. You know,
I'm just saying,
yeah,
a staged concert, a stadium tour production where she just does like a live staging of The Cell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Out of Sight or just Eddie. But, you know, is it just Cell? Just do some
The Cell.
Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
Tarsem. That's a Tarsem Singh joint, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Just do that.
Wow. She should just have Tarsem do the fucking visuals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And freak out her audience of like people who are like, you know.
Wine moms.
Yeah. Or whatever the J-Lo demographic. What is the J-Lo demographic nowadays? I'm actually kind of curious.
Like, you know, wine moms and older club kids.
Like, are there people... Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of people who, like, you know who adults. The Taylor Swift fans are. You know who a Tina Turner fan is. You know who a Beyonce fan is. Mm-hmm. You know who a Madonna fan is. J-Lo, I'm like, I get it, but I just can't. I can't sort of visualize them in, like, a whole stadium. Maybe
it's a Vegas crowd. You know what
that's
I mean?
What
I
think
it's,
right.
Yeah, wherever tourists are.
Yeah.
Tourists.
Yeah.
No Vegas. One who lives in the place that the concert is in will go.
And then they'll
go to another place. And
then people
it.
Disappointed that she's not actually Selena, and they're like, "Oh,
yeah,
fuck,
just do she's a do a whole
the hollering,
yeah, a whole Selena. Just do greatest hits in character in your various movie characters.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I love that. Yeah, you got it. If it is like an Eras tour, you know, type of thing, it's like, okay, so now I'm on my Cell Tarsum thing. Yeah. I'm in my Selena thing. I'm in my Get Out phase.
She goes from Fly Girl to fucking Selena to riveting stuff.
That was, I'm just trying to look. I need to see, because that jump, that's called an iconic jump, because, I mean, was Rosie Perez, wasn't she also a Fly Girl? I believe so. Let me just do that, Rosie Perez. See,
these ideas take you from Amazon Prime to an HBO. You know what I mean? Or like, this gives you some prestige.
Or a series of TikToks.
Yes.
So it should be
which is the pinnacle.
Yes. I'm just trying to look through. Let's see. Man, what? Why am I not seeing? What is this? Oh, producer. God.
You don't Google, right?
She's a multi-hyphenate, man. I was looking up all her producing credits. Okay, let me scroll down. Okay, did some TV, did some that TV show South Central. I remember that one in 1994. Mm-hmm. She was in Jack. I forgot the Robin Williams movie.
That's holy shit. Man.
Then Selena. Then obviously Anaconda. Then U-Turn.
A big snake on the stage.
Yeah,
comes out.
Wow. Exactly.
Snake budget.
And she goes, it just starts off, snakes don't bite. And then John Voight comes out and he goes, they don't. And he, you know, when he references his scar. Oh my God, dude. I love that monologue he gives in Anaconda. Anacondas are the perfect killing machine. Anyway, look it up.
Void or die.
But yes, good luck to you, Jennifer Lopez. I feel like that will probably work. If just people are like, look, I'm doing the hits, bro. I'm doing it's like a Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Get your money. Look, trust. Look, we've all made mistakes trying to self-produce an Amazon distributed, you know, just art piece. So very relatable. And we got your back. Andrew T., thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
today
for having us.
Thank you. It's always great. Dude, I'm so glad. People don't know, a little behind the scenes. Andrew and I, we had a nice lunch last week.
We did.
We hung out. It was a good time. And we always hang out through our mutual friends. We're like, bro, this is the first time we just hung out together.
Yeah, it was solo. It was a solo hang. I had a salad that was more fried catfish than vegetable
than
matter.
Than salad. Huh. Yeah, I was looking at it a little bit. I was like, bro, I'm just going to get the fried catfish. You're like, I'm going to get the
salad. I'll have
salad
a salad.
With,
yeah.
I get tried the uptown to... salad with the nuggets on it.
Yeah, it was a downtown salad. That's for fucking sure.
Oh, it was
sure.
Downtown?
Uh-huh. No. It turned out to be.
Oh, yes. It was good.
Yeah.
Good.
It was great.
I'm saying my okra was real good. All right.
Wonderful.
And I want to say the chemistry between you two, it shows that you guys got lunch last week. It's really paying off.
Blake, you're next. You're next when we go to Vegas.
You better. Yeah, I'll see you there.
We're just going to black out in the Usher show. Andrew, where can people find you, follow you, listen to you, all that? And what's the tweet you like?
Just Andrew T., last name is T.I., just everywhere. My podcast is Yo, Is This Racist? A tweet that I like is, I guess, a promotion for a short film that Chris Estrada did. He made This Fool, but he has a little short on YouTube called 5th of July that a friend of this show, Steve Hernandez, I don't know if he's been around.
Oh, but, yeah, Big Hearn. Oh, yeah, we love Big Hearn.
Yeah, it's really fun. It was a fun
Aside, is he in an Amazon ad? Or I mean a Verizon ad? I swear to God, I was on an airplane and I could have swore I saw Big Hearn acting like he was like a technician for Verizon in this commercial.
I feel like possible. I've seen that too.
I mean, he definitely acts. I don't know. I haven't seen an ad in years. So
it was very passive. I think it was like when I was flying back from Texas or something and I was just like, wait, that fucking Big
He's
Hearn
got technician
here.
Vibes. I would let him, you know, fiddle around with my router.
Okay. shout out to that. Who wouldn't? You know? Polly gang. We already know what it is. All right. And I'm sorry. And then that was that your tweet?
Yeah.
You said? No, that was a piece of media. Yes,
tweet, piece of media. But yeah, 5th of July on YouTube. I don't know why I'm promoting it like I made it, but it was really fun.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Amazing. Blake.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been great having you.
It's been a pleasure.
It's funny, man. I feel like when you lived in L.A., we're always like, oh, man, we got to hang out. And now you're gone. And now I'm like, at least I can have them in podcast form, stopping by, saying what's up.
We need to treasure what we can get. And this is what
maybe
we
need to
now.
Go have an uptown salad together. You know what
we
I mean?
Gotta go uptown catfish, 100%.
Yep. I'm sorry, fried catfish on a salad, just it's them interacting with the lettuce. I can just already feel the wilting of it. I didn't mean to ask you when we were eating. Mm-hmm. I didn't, because I didn't want to fuck up your eating experience, Andrew, but that was in my mind the whole time.
It was weirdly fine.
Yeah. Yeah. The shit was good. Blake, where do people find you, follow you, watch you? Because you got specials galore. Yeah. You've got, there's ways to experience you.
Yeah, I really know how to put material out before it's ready, except for by our special, Blake Wexler, Daddy Long Legs, which is streaming on YouTube. In April, I have some tour dates. Going to be in Cincinnati at Go Bananas Comedy Club. Going to be in Philly at the end of April. Also back in Brooklyn at Strong Rope Brewery. And in May, I'm going to be in Bristol, Tennessee, and Lancaster and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So come see me at Blake Wexler. You can find all those dates on there.
Okay. Is there a piece of media that you're enjoying?
A piece of media comes from a funny comic in New York, David Drake. His handle is on Threads is where I found this.
Oh.
At David Drake Comedy. And the media is, my daughter found a pine cone this morning, and that was enough for her to have fun. It almost made me question the pile of Molly I had to consume in order to enjoy the company of a close friend.
Oh, that's fucking amazing. You can find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got at symbols. Obviously, Jack and I have the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got Mad Boosties and 90 Day Fiancé podcast with Sophia Alexandra, 420 Day Fiancé. A tweet that I like is actually, I saw it for, look, I'm going to be honest. I was on Threads recently.
Oh, okay.
And I caught this thread. Well, because, you know, Joe Flaherty, who's a founding member of SCTV for like comedy nerds out there, he passed away recently. And maybe if you don't remember SCTV or like old school Canadian sketch and things like that, I mean, like we have our sketch comedy because of SCTV, I would argue. Mm-hmm. But there, you might know him from Happy Gilmore. He was the dude who kept wanting to hang out with Shooter at the Red Lobster. He's like, Shooter! That guy, that's Joe Flaherty. Yeah. Anyway, he recently passed, and Dana Gould put this on his thread, and it was really interesting because I knew that he was in SCTV, and I knew that like all these other people, like just seeing the amount of outpouring from other comedians who were like, Joe Flaherty was the shit. This is a really interesting one. It's called, he said, Eugene Levy once said that the hardest he ever laughed in his life was when he was editing a Five Neat Guys sketch. This is a sketch on SCTV. And realized that Joe Flaherty was playing the whole thing as if his character was just slightly drunk. He never told anyone. He just did it a half step off and a little sloppy for whoever would for whoever could catch it. And then he just said Joe Flaherty was a soft-spoken, kind-hearted, and quietly brilliant. In terms of sheer talent, very few people could touch him. Rest in peace. And if that is interesting to you, just look up Five Neat Guys, the SCTV sketch, because it's so subtle. But it's funny because everybody else is like, it's the Five Neat Guys supposed to be like the sort of like corner store or barbershop quartet type band doing like real traditional songs. And Flaherty's just like kind of got this look in his eye and just slightly off. And it warmed my heart. And like those are the little things that funny people like to fuck with each other over. So I thought that was a nice little moment. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We've got a Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. There it is. Wow. I like you took artistic liberties with that. I appreciate that, baby. You find all the episodes as well as a song we're going to ride out on. What song are we going to ride out on? Well, guess what? We're going to go out on this song called The Blackbirds, a song by The Blackbirds, which was founded by jazz legend Donald Byrd. And these like students that he like sort of found when he was teaching at Howard University. So it should be no surprise that this track is referencing something in Washington, D.C., specifically Rock Creek Park. And this is The Blackbirds with Rock Creek Park. This is like just some nice 70s, like funk R&B kind of stuff. That is just good toe tapping music. And I encourage you to check out the rest of the Blackbirds material because it's a lot of great musicians. They played for like everybody. Like they backed a lot of people. I can't name any, but BB King, Roberta Flack, just to name a few. So check this out. This is Rock Creek Park by the Blackbirds. That'll do it for us for this morning. We'll be back later to tell you what's trending. Until then, peace out. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.